This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
By them. Given, if you look at Haney's resume and then you compare it to other starting pitchers who have signed this offseason, and not to bore people with baseball names that they might not know off the top of their head, but Matthew Boyd signed with the Cubs for a lot of money and is a left-hander, and his recent resume is worse than this guy. And the Pirates got Haney for $5 million, and I think the Cubs paid like $30 million for Boyd. Nick Pivetta just signed the other day. Now, he's right-handed, but he's another one of these guys that's like a mid to, you know, back end of the rotation starter, and he got $55 million. So this is what happens when you play this waiting game with guys that are leftovers in free agency. Sometimes you get crapola, like Michael A. Taylor at the end of free agency last year and Yasmani Grandal. And other times you actually luck into something like when David Freese signed here originally. And so I think this is more of the latter, but the problem is, when that's all you've got, when you're not complimenting players, you're making your big moves now. That's the frustrating part. Like, I also don't mind the idea of, hey, we're already good at pitching, but let's just get more of it.
What is the old saying?
Let's just pitch them to death.
Can never have too much
pitching. You can never have too much pitching. So let's just try to win every game 2-1. Or let's try to win with arms and not bats.
He's a solid pitcher. I mean, to me, he's...
he's good.
He's solid.
He fits. He, like, obviously...
don't look at his win-loss. That doesn't matter.
Charrington as a type, he likes these crafty lefties.
Strikes out about a guy per inning, which is solid.
He struck out 9 in a row. He has the American League record. The American League's been around since the friggin' 1800s.
It's the junior circuit,
this
though.
Guy's mug...
looks
is
like an 1800s
at the top
pitcher.
Of the list. He struck out 9 in a row.
I know, but he's not like a... he hasn't
a power
been,
pitcher.
He hasn't been
that.
A true strikeout pitcher for any sustained
I know, but
chunk
I,
of his
I
career.
I have to be consistent on this. If I was excited about A.J. Burnett because I said, man, this guy's not that far removed from winning some big-ass games for the Yankees and helping them win a World Series when he got here, I have to say the same thing about this guy. 2 years ago, he pitched his fanny off for the Rangers in the playoffs. He was excellent for them. He's one of the big reasons why, as far as pitching goes, they won a World Series. And last year was just okay. It wasn't anything great. And the Pirates, I mean, he could eat, Chris, given the way Mitch Keller pitched in the second half of the year and the way Jared Jones pitched. I mean, it's not out of the question that he ends up their number two starter. If he does, well, then things went badly.
That's the problem. If he ends up your number two starter, you got bigger problems.
But I like Tyler Anderson here, and I like Jose Quintana. And I think he's right in line with those guys. Actually, I think he's better than both. Look at Anderson and Quintana the year before both came to Pittsburgh, and then look at this guy's last 2 years. It's a good move. The problem is, it's their only good move so far this offseason. That's the issue.
If you take his entire career in balance, Do you honestly, and he's not the same kind of pitcher. You're going to yell at me for this. You're going to get mad at me.
Is this a baseball reference comparable thing that they do?
No, it's just the first name that popped into my head when I was, because I'm not going to pretend that I'm sitting here and watch Andrew Heaney.
Are you going to give me like a Paul Mahalem or somebody
that
like that?
That is the exact name.
Yeah, because he pitches like him, but he's better than him.
He's a livelier arm than Mahalem. I have always remembered you as like a true baseball guy talking, pounding the table and saying there's value in guys that'll take the ball and throw, even if they're not great pitchers, will throw 160 to 190 innings.
But he's also not ass. I mean, there are guys that are durable and absolutely
God,
suck.
God, imagine you getting up there in front of the populace to describe and defend this signing. Andrew Heaney, not ass. Thank you. No, I would say he is a slightly above average pitcher. Last year,
usually slightly above average pitchers cost you more than 1 year, $5 million, especially when they're left-handed.
And in that sense, I think you make a good point to call it a good move because they got him for a bargain price. But against the backdrop of overall what they've done or not done this offseason, man, it feels only like two or three small drops in the bucket.
Donnie, this is right up your alley when it comes to Pirates analogies because you say it all the time with them. Like, once in a while, you do go to TJ Maxx and find something good. But at the end of the day, you're still shopping at TJ Maxx. You know, and like most of the things are there for a reason. There's an imperfection or they're dated or it's a guy's jersey and he hasn't played for the team for like 4 or 5 years and it's marked down. But sometimes you do find a gem there, and I feel like this is one of them.
Yeah, I didn't really think they would dive into starting pitching either, so maybe it catches you more by surprise because of that. I mean, I think we expect that if they're going to add anything, it's going to be an actual bat that can bring in some offense. Yeah, if you lose a starter now, this is a very good safety valve to have because, like you guys said, you can never have enough starting pitching, and you know with the amount of injuries they have, that will occur over 162, that's going to hit. They do have just an abundance of arms. A lot of them are very young and unproven, but they do have a lot. Like, there are even guys that aren't the Paul Skeens or Bubba Chandlers of the world that are going to be dudes that pitch in their bullpen this year, I would expect.
But is that going to be enough to win 87 games?
I don't care for the strategy of let's win a lot of games 3-2 and 2-1. I think you're really playing with fire by that.
I mean, because I still feel like the sport has gone back to more of a shift towards offense in a lot of ways. Yes, you have a ton of three true outcomes, so guys strike out constantly, but it doesn't feel to me like the 3-year run they had, especially 13 and 14, where I thought they were doing it better than anyone else, like what baseball was, which is a little bit more 1980s style speed and like manufacturing of runs. Like McCutchen wins the MVP award. He hit like, what, 24 home runs?
Yeah, runs were also suppressed back then.
Well, that's
though.
What I'm talking about.
It's like not an offensive era.
Tony,
like
that's what
this
I'm saying. This is an offensive era. And yeah, you can say stockpile pitching, but only to a degree. I still think you've got to try to win an arms race in terms
of
bats.
And Chris, if they were in the American League East or the National League East, then it would be a different sounding conversation. They're in the NL Central where, really, other than the Cubs, no one else is trying to win.
God, is that
think about it's true, though.
I just read an article.
There's one team in the division that's really trying to win.
We have always talked about...
So maybe you can luck your way into second place, and second place might be good enough to make the playoffs.
That's such a grim thing. We've always said on this show, Adonazio, the Brewers owner, is like a model for what we wish the Pirates would be with Bob Nutting.
But they're taking austerity measures there.
Oh, he's getting clobbered by big-name writers for the way he's handling them now. He continues to slash and burn, and people are wondering, can they possibly survive it again in Milwaukee? It's just a bummer on a more global level for me. Because I know what you're saying about the Cubs is accurate. Like, the Cardinals are supposed to be like a marquee franchise.
They didn't sign one guy.
I know. They're supposed
Don,
to be.
Don, how many guys did they
the
sign?
Steelers
Am I making that up? I think
MLB.
They signed zero
dudes.
They did not
sign anybody.
That's incredible.
They're supposed to be like the Steelers, a team in a middle or smaller market that just no matter what is always going to be good and always going to be relevant. It's grim, man. It's really grim. But
so
there's just no urgency to try to take advantage of that.
So I want to know with the first game tomorrow, and a really nice move, I think. I think the Pirates, I'm grading this move. I'm giving it an A-.
Grade are you giving it, Donnie? I'd give it a B. I'm a little less bullish. Still a good move. Still an above-average move. I'm not giving it an A.
They also tried to get Quintana. Did you see that?
I like Haney more than Quintana. Were they going to do both?
I feel like this was their backup plan.
I like Haney more than him. Do we have Pirates believers out there? Do we have Pirates optimists out there? Was this move enough to make people say, you know what? I do think this team has a shot. They do have a snowball's chance in hell. They do have a puncher's chance. With baseball games starting tomorrow, can we find, I think we have 15 phone lines, can we find 15 fans out there who actually think the Pirates have a chance to make the playoffs this year and have a season to remember? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. And for good measure, the best call, the most compelling case for why they have a chance, will win two tickets to our 15th anniversary event Wednesday, February 26th at the Rivers. 412-928-9370. When you call in right now, and you might actually even have a chance to meet this gentleman at that event.
Highlighting moments like Jim Starkey pranking Bob Pompeiani.
Jim Starkey.
It's like Joe's evil,
Jimbo.
Joe's evil brother.
Jimmy Starkey. Big game James Starkey's going to be there.
Play that one more time.
Highlighting moments like Jim Starkey pranking Bob Pompeiani.
Jimmy Starkey, folks.
Your pal Jimbo. Your pal Jim next door.
Do we have 15 Pirates eternal optimists out there after this move?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I believe we're going to go into 2025 with as strong a major league roster as we've had since I've been here. Just as importantly, I believe we're going to go into 2025 with as strong a baseball operation as we've had since I've been here. And we need both. And ultimately, you know, proof's in the pudding. Got to go do the work and get the results on the field. But I'm excited about what's ahead in 2025 and beyond, because I do believe we'll go into 2025 in the strongest position we've been in all those areas.
Ben Cherington using the word excited for this upcoming baseball season that starts tomorrow with the first of several spring training games. Is that how you feel about the Bucks? They made a move, dare I say, that I liked last night in the middle of the hockey game. But it was the only move they made this offseason that I liked. I challenge the listener. Are there hope springs eternal? Are there the Optimists Club? My grandfather was a member of the Optimists Club. It was actually like a guild that he was a member of.
Get out.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Chris Muller joining the Optimist Club? I'd kill that place from the inside out. I'd destroy it. The fox has entered the hen house.
God. Imagine you and Kabali in an organization like
that. Well, let's cool it here. Cool it.
Shutter the doors and close that thing down. You'd burn it to the ground, you two. By the way, Mark will be in here later this hour. Donnie's seventh mock of the day. It's been a minute since we looked at a mock draft. And so he has scoured the internet for the biggest one, as we are also just days away from the start of the NFL scouting combine. But I asked for calls, and I said the best one will win two tickets to our 15th anniversary party at the Rivers, February 26th from 6 to 9. You can still get tickets. Like, for example, tomorrow afternoon, Tom's Watch Bar, one of Mulsey's favorite places in the world to watch sports, 2 to 3.
I'll be there.
Down on the North Shore, go meet Mulsey. So you can get tickets and meet Chris. That is a double whammy right there. Or you can head to Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union in Scott Township on Monday from noon to 1. All the info is over at our website on where you can get tickets for this gigantic bash, 93.7thefan.com.
I will be there at 3 to 5 tomorrow, for the record. I will be there hanging out. So come by, see me, have a couple drinks. Watch sports. Fun stuff.
Let's see if Joe is drinking the Pirates Kool-Aid. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Pony?
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, I am. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. Look, last 2 years, they were contending until they dropped the entire month of August. They've got a respectable staff. If we know one thing, a respectable staff can take you to the postseason. They've also got two players, I think, capable of some greatness if the team is doing well.
And who are those O'Neal, two guys?
I'd say O'Neal and Reynolds.
I think Reynolds is what he is. I think Reynolds is a good player. I don't think he'll ever be great. Thank you, Joe. We got more people to get to. Appreciate you calling in. Saying the foundation of the house is pitching, and they've got good pitching.
Man, I
think they've got potential for good pitching.
I don't feel they have one elite, great, already feels like an all-timer in the making pitcher.
Yep.
I feel like Jones has to answer questions in year two.
Agreed.
I feel like Keller has to continue answering questions the second half of seasons.
The swoons, man.
I think Bubba Chandler is a total unknown, even though we love the arm talent. And Heaney is coming off of, I know the 2 years prior to this were very good, especially 2022.
I happen to like Heaney.
Heaney is coming off of his last 3 years, the worst one. So they hopefully, perfect world, they bought low. They bought the dip, Pony.
Like, last year, they got Martin Perez from the Rangers, and they paid more money for him. And the dude was so bad, the Rangers said, hey, we're going for the World Series. Why don't you sit your ass on the bench because you're not good enough to pitch for us? This guy, on the other hand, was instrumental in them winning a World Series. And I know it's an extra year removed, but he's pitched in a ton of big spots before. I mean, he's been a part of really good teams. So I've got more confidence in him. This is not Rich Hill at 97 years old.
Do you worry at all about the fact that the market knew all this about him and still he lasted to this point? Because that would give me a little pause.
Yeah, a little
pause.
Bit. I think that's.
I don't know how it could.
I think that's fair. But here's the thing. He's a pitch to contact, even though he's got the American League strikeout consecutive record with 9. He's a pitch to contact, soft tossing lefty. And I don't think those guys are in vogue like they used to be, because most analytical outfits are like, yeah, we don't want guys to pitch to contact.
I mean, the thing I would say that probably is best about him is, if are you a believer that you have to make up a great pitching staff unless you've got 5 all-timers of at least a little bit of different styles?
I like having a lefty in there, especially with PNC Park and left field.
I'm not even saying just a lefty. I'm talking about, like, you specifically want somebody who's throwing ground balls, maybe. You want a couple power arms, but you want somebody that's giving people a different look.
I think anybody that's played the game who will tell you that if you have to, say, on Friday night face Paul Skeens, and then Saturday afternoon you come right back and it's Haney, who's like the exact opposite pitcher.
Throwing 89-mile-an-hour fastballs sometimes that gets you all off kilter. Okay.
Here is Matt on the Buccos. Let's see if he is feeling it this year. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey.
So there's hope, but that's if everything goes right. They talk about winning in the margins, but they've willfully chosen to thin those margins out as much as possible.
Great point. Very well said.
You got to hope that the hitting coach makes a noticeable difference. You got to hope Shelton isn't tripping over his own 2 feet.
He won't be distracted by coming up with nicknames for Chappie and the like here, Matt. He's not going to be worried about nicknames this season, hopefully.
Right. You gotta avoid the injury, the serious injury.
See, that's
landmine.
The big one, man. They're one Paul Skeens like injury that,
right.
Like, say he strains an oblique. Everyone thinks about arm injuries. Say Skeens just has like an oblique injury that keeps him out for 4 weeks. You miss like how many starts of him in that time, and it looks tough.
I get that. We're going to put Matt on hold and actually give him the tickets because I thought that was very
nice.
Well done. I want a guy like that at our 15th anniversary party. That's a guy that knows how to call a sports talk radio show. But
wow, what praise from you! Damn.
But look, if they've actually for having a payroll right now that is in the low 70s, like $73 million or $74 million. They actually do have depth of arms where if somebody like Skeens, knock on wood, did go out for a month, you feel like you might be okay. Whether you call Chandler up, Oviedo, Falter comes up, you know, comes out of your bullpen, is back in the rotation, has to make a few starts. And I mean, and you traded Ortiz. I mean, you really could have had 10 guys that were major league arms. But you needed a first baseman, a first baseman that had a chronic wrist injury.
Yeah, you bringing Ortiz up just makes me think of Horwitz and then makes me think of the wrist injury. I'll tell you what, nothing is going to make Charrington look smarter than if this wrist injury turns out to be he's out till mid-April, he comes back healthy, and he starts to rake.
Let's go to Paul in Monroeville on the Pirates in 2025. Hello, Paul.
But let's stop sugarcoating everything. There's only one thing that Derek Shelton's good at, and that's giving his players nicknames. I don't want to hear about Chappie and this one and Scotty Too Hotty or whatever the hell else nickname he has. He has blown more games with his managerial changes at pitching. Go over all the games that we've lost, that we've had leads, because of Derek Shelton pitching changes. This is amateurized.
Is that still, that was a call from the 2024, but like if we did a just 365 days thing where there wasn't a defined start and end of the year, it's still probably number one.
With his managerial changes at pitching. I mean, just like
this is amateur hour.
Everything about it is perfect.
The pacing, you know what? We talked about the late, great Mike Lang and how his cadence and his sense of rising action. You want to talk about using your voice as an instrument on a radio call? That's about as good as it gets.
The great Chuck in Uniontown with concerns about Derek Shelton for 2025. Chuck?
Managerial mistake number 5,884 this year. And it cost us, you know, it cost us the biggest game of the season.
Do you agree?
5,824.
Do you agree with me that when you're going to make a statement like that or have a take like that, it's much funnier to come up with a very exact number instead of 5,000?
Yeah.
Like, I think managerial mistakes, 7,346, way funnier to me.
Well, because I'm just picturing Chuck also having a diary
like,
where he tracks
like,
every single one of his managerial mistakes.
Another one, and he's just fuming.
That music means it's time for a Donnie mock of the day. I didn't know that we switched up to the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I also didn't know that this ticket pickup is today at Hampton Beer Outlet. That's just been brought to my attention. So wires getting crossed everywhere. So get out there. It starts in a few minutes. 4 to 5. Hampton Beer Outlet. Route 8. Put it into your Waze or put it into your GPS and get to Hampton Beer Outlet if you want to be a part of our 15th anniversary celebration. And you should. Are we still not allowed to play the
other stuff,
the mock of the day jingle? Is that still something that needs to be sorted out between us and the bosses
here?
Yeah,
I believe so.
Okay, so you're just going to play it safe today? That's probably a good move.
Mock, yeah, ing, yeah, bird, yeah.
It doesn't have the same, I mean, I don't want to bury a segment before it starts, but it doesn't have the same pizzazz without a little.
No, not at all.
This is theater of the, it's audio theater of the mind.
We did figure out, which is big news, and I know we won't have one today, but it will return on Monday. The debrief has been saved.
Okay. Because that was on life support from what I understand.
All right, I have a proposal here. I think we've got enough musically talented listeners out there.
Pete Bender.
Well, dude, think about the guy who caddied Eric for me at Oakmont the second time around. He's got his own band. I've still got to put music in that he said, I'd love it if you guys use it
fault.
As rejoin.
That's on you.
I'm going to make sure that music starts getting used. It's very funky stuff. I think we've got to see if our listeners want to take the Pete Bender route and help us with some original compositions.
How about the enterprising rapper who came up to us when we were at the Market District in Robinson who wanted to get some of his
stuff on the air? He came up to Colin, and Colin immediately sent him to you and said, that's the guy who will get your music on
the air. Well, Colin's has divided attention right now. Apparently, he's on AM contemplating a mayoral race bid right now.
He is.
He's thinking about throwing his hat into the ring. Even though I don't think, are you allowed to if you don't live in the city of Pittsburgh?
You'd have to go get a residence, I think, in the city. Like a lot, I think a lot of the guys who have been mayor, the people who've been mayor, lived in like Shadyside, obviously. I think Tomlin still lives in Shadyside, and you know, there's obviously super nice houses there. Squirrel Hill.
Congratulations on all his success.
Can you imagine if he just said, I'm giving this up, I'm moving into the city, and I am running. A chicken in every pot. Colin Dunlap.
You never see a big fat guy that is mashing his own, well, nuts in the machine to make peanut butter.
Start there. Build a campaign around that.
I know a lot of stuff sounds strange out of context. That is one of the all-timers. Just you never see a fat guy making his own peanut butter, essentially. Correct.
Never see a big fat guy that is mashing his own, well, nuts in the machine to make peanut butter.
Do you ever see a skinny guy just mashing his own nuts? I mean, Don, you want to enlighten us on this one? Do you have any nut mashing?
I've never mashed my own nuts.
2 cents?
To make peanut butter.
You want to talk about, by the way, another clip that if you just cut it off at a certain point, you never see a big fat guy
mashing his own nuts.
Well, okay then.
All right, Donnie, what do you got for your seventh mock?
So another problem we could run into, and I hope, because I know Chris keeps track of stuff like this.
Yep.
Last Friday, they had to do a complete reset of this computer in here.
Mm. Okay.
So I lost every mock that I've already done.
Guess what? Got my document right here.
I feel like enough time has gone by
that when you search for mock drafts,
That I'm not saying I'm going to like repeat one because normally I try to keep it like pretty current.
Okay.
I'm saying
to go through like, who's been picked. So I'm going to do that for you right now. That's why I'm the official record keeper of the show. Day one's mock back in end of January, Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, Matthew Golden, wideout from Texas. Next one, the day after, Bucky Brooks of Fox Sports, Luther Burden III from Missouri, Eric Edholm. We like Eric from NFL.com. The next day, Emeka Egbuka, Ohio State wideout, Matt Miller of ESPN, Egbuka, Ryan Wilson, our good buddy, Carnegie Mellon Educated, Luther Burden. And then this was the one, Pony. Now, you were legitimately on the shelf with explosive diarrhea this day. It was when karma came to get you.
That you got, too.
I know. I think you probably got me sick. That's being around you was probably a problem. Chad Reuter, NFL.com. And Donnie and I just were foaming at the mouth.
This was the nightmare scenario.
This really was. This was the sum of all fears. You ever see that movie?
This was the Sunday Scaries.
Doesn't end well, that movie. 3-round draft. He had the Steelers taking Quinshon Judkins in round one, Jalen Milroe in round two, and cornerback Denzel Burke in round three. And Donnie and I were just absolutely crestfallen reading that. Like, I think I said something to the effect of, if that actually happened, I'd be giving them an F after each of the first 2 days.
I think this would be my reaction to that.
You never see a big fat guy that is mashing his own, well, not.
I know news talk is such that they can kind of go out on tangents like we can. You ever hear one like that where you're just like, man, what were they even talking about where that possibly became something on the radar? And I'm somebody who has taken discussions in very strange directions. I know this.
So today we have Tom Fornelli from CBS Sports.
I know that guy.
This one gets quite interesting as you keep scrolling down.
Man, we really do miss the music.
Yeah, I know. Do you want me to just toss a bet in there and play one?
Well, wait a minute. Are we allowed to like play any of the great football-themed bets that we have, or are those off-limits too?
I could find one of the ones that's already in here.
Why don't you find one that's already in there, and we'll vamp here for 10 seconds while you find one. Because now it's Tom Fornelli. That guy. That guy's been around for a while.
I just don't like when Craig usually takes roadblocks and tears them down.
Oh, he's erecting
like
them right now.
I feel like right now he's building them up.
He's putting them right. He's putting those Jersey barriers right in our way.
He usually does a very good job of make show better, make show easier to do. Right now, making show harder. Come on, Craig.
Now we're good here. It instantly feels better.
We know you're not.
It's like mood music.
We know you're not, you know, taking copious time or spending a lot of time getting laid. So how about then take that free time and
you're saying he wasn't distracted by this being a hug day?
Oh, when I brought that to his attention, what Vic and Hazelwood said about
What was his face? Yeah, Vic and Hazelwood said he has something called a hug day with his wife. They've been together almost 30 years. It's a scheduled sex day. Give me Craig's facial reaction when you said that.
Do you remember when I said, quite controversially, that I feel like when I'm in my 50s, I'm just going to retire from sex?
Controversial.
I just feel like I'm going to have had my fill by then. I think Craig's already put the jersey up to the rafters. I think he's already had the, like...
It's like an extra small.
Have the ceremonial press conference where he signs a one-day contract.
Jeez.
Yeah. He's like, I got 3 kids. I think it's done.
Key with that is, though, you always want to leave on your own terms. You don't want them to tell you when you're done, right? That's a really bad sign.
I think it's almost like when Tomlin broke up with Palomalu with the voicemail.
Yeah, you don't ever want to get, as they would say in Dumb and Dumber, a John Deere letter.
All right, Don. So Tom Fornelli, CBS Sports.
Is this a multi-rounder or
your
is this
seventh
a
mock draft?
It's just one.
All right, here we go.
The Giants trade up. They get Cam Ward, number one.
Okay.
Abdul Carter goes to the Cleveland Browns. Then you get Travis Hunter at 3 to the Titans after they traded back. You get some defensive linemen off the board early. Mason Graham goes 5. McMillan goes 9.
Did Shedeur Sanders go 6?
I notice I didn't say his name yet.
Come on, Pony. You know this man knows his craft.
I would have mentioned Shedeur Sanders if he got selected.
Oh, I think I know where this is headed.
Creeping into the teens. Still no Shedeur Sanders. Tyler Warren goes to the Bengals, though, by the way.
I would hate that for us and love that for them.
Luther Burden goes to the Bucks at 19.
Oh, no.
Ashton Jeanty goes to the Broncos at 20, right before the Steelers.
If I were going to make a bet on any non-top five pick, like player and team, and bet actual money today that it's going to happen, I would bet Jeanty to the Broncos with a decent amount of money.
Yeah, anyway. I guess Peyton seems to...
Peyton's completely infatuated with him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he is. That's getting a lot of those dots getting
opposite.
Connected. A lot of those... Well, here, really quick, you want a nerd stat? They have the best blocking win rate for their O-line in the whole league, and they were not that good of a running team because their backs actually sucked. So if you put a guy on that roster who's a good back, theoretically they would have just eaten him up last year. Like,
all right,
1,800
yards.
Here we
go, drum roll.
And now we get to pick number 21.
I already know where this has to be going.
It's about to get really interesting, and it may catch you by surprise. Because the Steelers don't select a defensive lineman. They don't select a wide receiver. It is Jade Barron, the corner from Texas. And then at number 22, the Cleveland Browns trade up with the Chargers, and they take Shedeur Sanders.
You bait and switch the hell out of me.
Well, hold on a second.
I thought this was going to be Sanders to the Steelers.
If Sanders fell to the Steelers at 21, they should absolutely take him under the Aaron Rodgers fell late into the first round and hope that he's Aaron Rodgers and not Brady Quinn way of looking at it. You take swings at quarterback. If someone that was thought to be a top five pick falls to you at 21... You go for it, given your quarterback
positional
situation.
Positional value and everything else comes into play.
So, that would be... We've had people say the Steelers don't really like Sanders or Ward that much, but if they took a friggin' first-round corner over him...
That would be...
I would lose it.
The acquisition cost, the opportunity cost, becomes so much lower there. That's how you have to look at these things, almost like in economic terms, man. I'm on record as saying I think he's a very accurate passer. I think he does some nice things. I do not think he will end up being a good NFL quarterback. I don't think Dion would come in here and be chirping at Tomlin. I think there's too much respect there. So I don't think it would be super dramatic from that perspective.
unless it went really sideways really quickly on the field. But as much as I would have so many reservations, Pony's right. If you could get that player at 21.
The chance has to be taken.
Unless, hold on. There are people who said he and Cam Ward wouldn't have even cracked last year's top six. Like, might have been better than the Pickett class, were better than the Pickett class. But, like, then you have to say, okay, if they are quarterback 7 and 8 in last year's class, are they really first-round caliber players? Maybe not.
He did not have a good offensive line at Colorado. I think he's a good pocket quarterback. I think he's got a high floor and a low ceiling. I think best case scenario is Matt Ryan in the NFL.
You know why that's so weird? I think you're right, but
it's
you know what?
MVP.
True, and should have been a Super Bowl champion.
That's why I said best case scenario.
What's so weird though about him is I think because of who his dad is and how spectacular of an athlete his dad was, people are surprised to hear Pony kind of talk about him in sort of a similar vein as people
Deion
talk about
has said
Pickett.
That. He said he's more like Tom Brady than Lamar Jackson.
He
is right.
He's a scrambler the way Mahomes is. He is in no way, shape, or form an actual runner. Deion has made fun of both of his sons and said they got their speed from their mom's side. That's why they're not as fast as me.